Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving, mightily, mightily, mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I consider how the works of the Holy Spirit and how He do things. It's just amazing to me. And it always will be. Like I say in many broadcasts, He thinks of everything. He considers timing, strength, what you can receive, what others can receive from you, the revelation you can be trusted with to propel the logic of God and the knowledge of God to other people. People are wrestling. You know, God has mercy on us. Mercy, knowledge, judgment, they all work together for God's goals. Some people try not to learn because they know that if they know more and fail, they're going to be punished more. This is a fear. You don't have to fear failure. It's best not to fear anything. Fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord helps us, is healthy, because it's a restraint from deviation. You can't be wise without the fear of the Lord. People fall for illusions of all sorts because they stop fearing the Lord, or they never fear the Lord. Some people go under the assumption, well, God's not there. Now, that takes a lot of undermining of on Satan's part to get to a person to the point where they believe in their heart that God is not there, when they're made in His image and everything that they see suggests that He is and that He always will be. The false scientists, they try to judge God by what He already made. But they don't. They say it happened all by itself, which is preposterously crazy. That can't happen. Nothing in this world just happens by itself. You know, the raw materials that God gave us, we make cars, houses, and all kind of things out of raw materials. Now, there's a furnace in Birmingham, Sloss Furnace. They would take the raw materials and make iron. They made pig iron. And they did it, they took raw materials and made pig iron. And then other factories would take that pig iron and make whatever they wanted to make. It was a lot of effort. And back in the 50s and 60s when they were running, I did a tour with an engineering group before. I was taking mechanical engineering, and we toured the facility. And the guy said that they spent $1 million on natural gas every month. It takes a lot of effort to build things from nothing, out of raw materials. God made the raw materials. He created it. He spoke it. Now, when people decide to believe that there's no God, a lot of deception happens first. Our first authority figures shape the way we see God. But if the Father was not there, and they had nobody to guide them, except the mom, or maybe both parents were killed and they were raised by others. When the Father's not there, the enemy will come with deception. They're used to the structure, the strongest structure in the home, not being there. And they don't have anybody to guide them. They don't have anybody to bounce their thoughts off. So they get help from other sources. The enemy will cause them, will drive them to believe that God is not there. But when a person has a loving and generous Father, it's easier for them to believe that God is also loving and generous. If they have a wealthy or rich, and stingy father, they're going to think God is rich and stingy. God has streets of gold, like the Bible says, but he's not going to give you anything. That's what they'll think. Now, God gave us salvation, and he also gave us raw materials. And when we put our hands to the plow and work, then we start building our lives up. And when we take a portion of what we earn by working and help those that can't help themselves, spiritual wealth gets on our lives, along with the favor of God. And you're going to find out how generous God can really be. See, a healthy life portrays God perfectly. An unhealthy life lies against God. A man that has a lazy father, he's going to think God is lazy. That'll be Satan's temptation in him, against him. God is not lazy. If you look up at the night sky, you'll know he's not lazy, because he made all those suns, all those stars. Those stars are suns, and those suns have planets around them of all sorts. Whatever God wanted, that's what he made. And they have names. And Abraham couldn't count them all. Now, we need to know God for who he is. He's still doing things. He never stopped doing things. There's a wisdom that you can receive from him that he will readily give you if you want it, if you ask for it. Whatever you want to know, he can teach you. There are things that there are capabilities you have and don't know, because we're made in his image. God put resources in us just like he put resources in the earth. You can dig out gold and iron and copper and tin. There's a way to do all these wonderful things. They come from resources. And there are men who study and they do these things. There are factories that mine it out and they build things out of it. We just go to the store and buy it, but you can't go to the store and buy it if nobody's digging it out and refining. Well, God put resources in all of us. Every single person is very valuable, and they don't know it. Now, when they go to heaven, it'll be revealed, because they'll be nurtured properly. They'll see God. They'll begin to grow. A bum on the street that gave up on life and got saved, and he go to heaven, God bless him, he'll be nourished back to hell in heaven. And he's going to become a wonderful creation of God. He's going to be a man of God. Every person that makes it to heaven, if they just make it in, God will put the deep resources that's in them. He can draw it out. And he can erase their evil. He can cleanse their sin. And they won't be like that anymore. Well, all the worst temptations that the enemy put in people's hearts and drive them to darkness and do things that terrify men. If a person gets saved, bear with me, if a person gets saved for real, they believe on Jesus from the heart. They're not just saying a magic prayer to get out of trouble. They really in love with God. They're washed in the blood. And they do get out of trouble. They won't go to hell. Now, the laws of sowing and reaping, they'll still have to deal with that. If you went all of your life being lazy and now you're old and too weak to work, you're going to have trouble. Now, God will save you and he'll bless you from that point on as much as he possibly can. But don't think that they're going to die rich. It's highly likely that they're going to die very poor, even though they go to heaven, because they sowed wrong, so they're going to reap wrong. And all the relationships they destroyed because they were lazy, people will be glad that they were in heaven, but they'll be broke because they wasted their life. God don't undo sowing and reaping. He just salvage what's left of your life, and he forgive you of your sin, so you don't have to pay for your sin with the damage you've already done. And so it is when people do the right thing. They'll be blessed. And they'll, you know, they were wise. Otherwise in life, they were wise. They worked and they earned things and they did things. They helped people. But they got saved late. Well, they'll keep what they had. They did right. It's theirs. They'll die wealthy as they got themselves to. But all the wonderful spiritual wealth that would have been on their life won't be there. They went their whole life giving people their kind of advice instead of God's advice. So they sowed the kind of seeds they sowed. Some of the seeds they sowed did damage, and that will cost them. And some of the things they did that was good, and they'll be blessed by it. But their soul will be saved, and they'll go to heaven. And they'll be rewarded for whatever they did right. And they'll suffer lack for what they did, what they missed God. So sowing and reaping is still intact. Understand this. People that kill, they'll be killed. God will save their spirit. They'll live forever. But before they die, somebody gonna kill them. If you kill with the sword, you'll die by the sword. If you go out and do murder, somebody's gonna murder you. You don't want that kind of damage on your life. And you don't want to leave hurdles for your children. Sowing and reaping is real. The faster you get saved, the better decisions you'll make along the path of life. You can take advantage of time that way. Now, as we follow God, as we learn from Him, everything, you know, time is going to happen. As we follow His ways of life without fear, you'll go forward in life and not backwards. God will bless you in life. He'll aid you in life along the way. And even more spiritual wealth will be on your life. And that's what we want. That's what needs to happen. You'll be more equipped to be a blessing. And you won't be doing the natural man's damage. See, the false scientists, they portray God wrong. Cold religion also portrays Him wrong. They judge God by kings. They're looking at whatever people are focused on, that's what's big to them. In the Dark Ages, the people in the church, they were afraid of the king. They were afraid of the kings. So they did. They obeyed the king more than they obeyed God. And they came up with lies like purgatory. There's no purgatory. There's no place between heaven and hell. And they used purgatory to extort money out of God's people through fear and illusion. You can put money in the basket and it'll set your loved ones free that wasn't good enough to go to heaven. That's not true. If they don't get saved, they're not going to heaven. And if they die without Christ, they're on their own. Hell will come and snatch them away. Now, but those that believe on Christ, they can go to heaven. They are welcomed in heaven. God wants every soul to go, but it's down to you. It's up to you whether you go or not. And so it is with everybody. Now, people have to choose to go to heaven, and they have to choose to live God's lifestyle. And then they're going to be blessed. If a person gets saved and they don't fully do the things of God, then their life won't be the same. We all need to know what God can do in our lives. He loves us and He cares about us. And He's going to bless us. He's going to take us forward and not backwards. He's going to show us things and guide us in life. So nobody has to be afraid of learning. Because the things you're going to learn from God, it's going to propel you in life. And your little children that's looking up to you, they're going to see the handiwork of God. And it'll be easy for them to believe that God loves them. They'll be motivated to stay out of trouble because they don't want to displease God. And if they learn to fear the Lord, they won't get in trouble at all. They'll refrain from evil. Now watch this. Sometimes people get to the point where they receive the truth. And they say, well, God loves me. I'm going to endeavor to do all things God's way. And I'm not going to do things according to the wickedness of this world system. And I'm one of the people that did that. I said, Lord, whatever you want to do, I want to do it. And I would, by faith, though I didn't have the knowledge, resources, and wisdom, and sometimes the will, I would say with my mouth, so that I could be, so it could be true, so it could become true, that I love God's ways. I love all of God's ways. And I hate the ways of the world system. Now, I didn't know everything that I, at the time I started doing this, I didn't know what I know now. I didn't know how the world system really worked and how heaven really worked. I knew in part on both sides. But the more I said with my mouth that I will do all this in God's heart, I love God's ways, I love His people, I love His word. Everything God was trying to get me to do in the word, I became one with it. I became willing and obedient to it. Did I fail? I did fail because I failed in areas where I lacked knowledge. My journey wasn't perfect. But because I kept determining and the enemy kept fighting and he tried to throw me off course. He tried to trick me in areas where I didn't know right. I didn't know. So when I saw this happening, I asked, if I missed it, if I failed somewhere, I would say, Lord, how did I fail? What got me off track? What's the problem? I don't know what's wrong, but what happened? And he would explain it to me. And I'm going to give you an example. In my business, I would make money. And if I made the same amount every week, I would be over. I would make enough to do everything I had to do. And I could pay all my bills and have something left over to save. But what was happening, I make a good amount the first week, a good amount the second week, and then it'll start going down, and I may skip some days without anything to do. And then the last week will come around, I make just enough to pay my bills. And I will put pressure on myself to work. I will work to make the difference. I try to work on Saturdays, my off day. And sometimes finish something up on a Sunday evening or something. And I got wore out. I got tired. I said, Lord, what's going on? I would pray. I would sow seed. I did everything I knew to do. But I still had this problem. And if I could just fill up the rest of those weeks and make the same amount as I did the first two, I'd be over budget. I'd be doing good. I'd be in the black, not the red. This went on a while, and one day I worked myself to, I was so exhausted. I sat down and just didn't get up. And I watched TV the rest of the day. I had something to do, but I was exhausted. And so I started seeking the Lord. I said, Lord, what's going on? What am I missing? And He showed me something very valuable. I didn't realize that I acted on a fear. I learned these things. Some of the things I teach, I learned it the hard way. I pioneered through it. I said, I thought I got rid of all fear, but I didn't. When I put pressure on myself, that was the fear. When I was afraid to sit down and relax and recoup. See, Christians, they keep all the Ten Commandments except for one. They don't rest on the Sabbath day. See, when the Sabbath day come around, sometimes things just not finished. And I like to finish before I relax. That's just the way. But that's when it's a fear. That's a good thing to have, unless fear is attached to it. Now this is why. Fear attaches Satan to your life. Any form of fear, except the fear of God. The fear of God drives Satan out of your life. Whatever you do, if you're good to your wife, be good to your wife genuinely, not because you fear something. If you love your husband and you're generous to your husband, be generous to your husband. But don't do it out of fear. When you give advice to your children, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that they'll make the wrong choice. Don't fear evil. David said, I fear no evil. Fear attaches Satan to your life. That's why I said some people are afraid to grow, because they're afraid that they'll be judged if they turn their heart. Don't be afraid that you're going to fall. Don't be afraid that you of the worst. Don't be afraid of situations. But lace your life with the love of God. The love of God will drive all fear away from you. You'll drive it out like the Hebrews should have driven out all the Canaanites. And this is good. Now, when I started and I said, Lord, what do I do? I had to learn not to fear. And he said, every morning before your feet hit the floor, command your angels to bring you much cash. And what happened is, I would get so much business, sometimes I'd feel overwhelmed. Now I have to manage it. I can get more business when I want it. It's not a problem. Now, the problem that I have now is getting it out, finishing everything. And still have time, but I have to take time to relax. See, God said, if you stick with what God said in the first place, if you take the Sabbath day and just, now not because of the law, we're free. If you don't observe the Sabbath, see, Jesus came, you got Jesus. The Sabbath comes with it. In the millennium, that's a Sabbath day, basically. When he reigned that year, you're going to keep the Sabbath. But the wisdom of the Sabbath day, you need it. You need a day of rest. Don't be afraid to rest. You're not going to, never act on any fear. If you taught your children the word of God, believe that they believe the best. And pray. If you're concerned about somebody, pray for them. But not out of fear. Job prayed out of fear. He gave offerings out of fear. He was terrified that things would happen and go wrong. And the day came, he said, the things I greatly feared has come upon me. So don't, I didn't know that I was in fear until God showed it to me. It was a hidden fear. I thought I was courageous, which I was in a way, but I was afraid to rest. And rest is necessary. Fear attaches Satan to whatever you're doing. Don't have fear in your ministry. Don't have fear in your business. Don't have fear in your relationships. Don't be afraid that you're not adequate. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This means that we have unlimited resources. We love others with God's love. God will supply us and strengthen us to love every soul just like Jesus loves us. When you decide, I'm going to love everybody no matter what, and I'm going to do things that God has given me to do. When you make that determination, I said determination, you're willing and obedient, it'll drive the fear out. You'll be fully supplied. And if you feed your heart the word of God, you'll be strong enough to carry it out. And the Holy Spirit will give you all the necessary wisdom that you lack. and you'll be able to do them. You got, like I said, there are deep resources in all of us, and they're drawn out by the wisdom and love and holiness of God. You'll learn to embrace holiness and not treat it as an enemy. Holiness is supreme purity. And you'll be able to judge and see things for what it is. Now, within the church, there was a holiness church, and they kept rules of the law, and they had what they felt like were high standards. Now, they were wonderful people. But the law, we're not righteous by the law. We're righteous by the blood of Jesus. And because we love, we keep the law. We fulfill the law as we walk in the love of God. Now, with that in heart, in mind, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See, love helps you keep the law. It helps you fulfill the law. You don't have to put pressure on yourself with ungodly fears. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.